Let's start at verse number 8. How many churches were there in the book of Revelation? Only two of those churches was Yahweh not angry with them. Out of seven, only two. Brother Morgan, how are you feeling? You're going to get all the way better. Amen. Before it's over. Radical faith. Radical faith. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Only two churches. Does anybody know which two churches? Go ahead. Absolutely. That's the only, see, he's a true disciple, this brother. Only Smyrna and Philadelphia was pleasing to Yahweh. That is your two witnesses. Do you get that? Out of seven churches, only two are witnesses. Okay? Now, let's read about this church that God loved. He had no complaints. All the other churches, he complained about them, except for this one. Let's read. Verse 8. And unto the pastor of the church in Smyrna write. Somebody said it doesn't say pastor. Yes, it does. Angel is he, a Greek there for messenger. And there was a messenger over the church, which was the pastor. So unto the pastor of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works. I've always found it interesting that he never said, I know thy faith. Always found that interesting. He never one time said, I know your intentions. I know you've got faith in Christ. He never said that. He always said, the way I know you have faith is by your works. Yeah. And I know your tribulation and your poverty, but I love what he said, but thou art rich. He said, I know your poverty, but yet you're so rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are the church and they're not. They say they're the Christian church, but they're not. But they are the synagogue of Satan. If you've ever wondered what the synagogue of Satan is, it is that temple wherein the man of sin, the Antichrist, has been sitting for 2,000 years. There's two synagogues. There's one of the third temple, and then there's one where they're bringing red heifers to. Oh, well, anyway. They think they are Israel, but they're not. They are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10. But notice what he said there. He didn't say that they are the strip club of Satan. That's how we would normally think to find Satan. They didn't say this is the blues club of Satan. Didn't say it's the honky-tonk of Satan. Said it's the church of Satan. And the people that's sitting in it thinks they're the church. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And you will have, no matter what they tell you on TBN, no matter what they teach you, you will have tribulation. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. You shall have tribulation 10 days. 10 days. 10 days. How many days are between the Feast of Trumpets and Atonement? 10 days. Now what you're going to learn tonight is what none of your Jewish friends know about these 10 days of awe. They have no idea what these 10 days really represent. Tonight you're going to learn. because 10 days you shall have tribulation. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the true church. He that overcometh will not be hurt by the second death. Hallelujah. Father, would you bless your word tonight? Would you help your little servant, your unprofitable servant tonight? Would you anoint the ears of everyone that's listening around the nation and in this little assembly tonight? Would you anoint their ears to really hear what you're saying to them, I pray. In the name of Yahshua, you may be seated. The Feast of Trumpets represents the resurrection. That it will be the second coming of Messiah. No matter what you've been taught, that will be the one and only rapture, which happens at the second coming of the Messiah. Now, between the resurrection and atonement. Now, for those of you that don't know what atonement really means, it is the symbolic day when there will be a wedding between Yahshua and his covenant bride. But it's also the day that our slave master, who has held us in sin all of our lives, will be arrested. Now, amen. Many people don't understand that. On Mount Calvary, the arrest warrant was signed. But on the Day of Atonement, the arrest warrant will be delivered. Now, between the 2 days is what I want to talk to you about. Always remember, in the book of Revelation, it is not a book of doctrine. It is a book of experiences. The book of Revelation was never written to tell you about world events. That would be the book of Daniel. The book of Revelation was not written about the world. If you'll open up the book, it is written to those seven stars that he held in his hands, which is the seven churches. Now, all of our life, we've read the book of Revelation trying to figure out when this would happen, when that would happen, when that would happen. And that's Satan's little trickery game. He's got you looking for the coming of the Antichrist, looking for this and looking for that. But the book of Revelation was never written for the future. It was written for the present. And it was written to apply to you before it applies to the world. So, when we think about these days of awe, remember, it's between the resurrection and it's between the overthrow of Satan on the wedding day. However, in between those 10 days, now let's take that into your life. When was your resurrection? Thank you. The Bible said you were buried and resurrected to new life. Between the moment of your resurrection, that does not mean Satan has been overthrown in your life. I need y'all to really wake up. You just got it. From the moment of your resurrection, that doesn't mean you are free from demon powers. It doesn't mean that you are free from the influence of the enemy. Because you hear me and hear me well, there is a 10-day period from the resurrection to the revolution, and you must go through that 10-day period. You will spend 10 days, and I'm fixing to tell you what that 10 days means. You will spend 10 days after the resurrection until you dethrone Satan in your life. Everybody's waiting for the day when we dethrone Satan from the world. Listen to me. It cannot happen until the church dethrones him from the church. And you can't dethrone him from the church until you dethrone him from your life. Everybody's waiting for the day when Satan will be bound. One day Satan will be bound, 1,000 years. That book of Revelation is telling you, forget about that day. Because you started counting down to that day at your resurrection. You started counting down the victory over every addiction, over every temptation, over every trial. You started counting down the day till you walked in victory. You didn't come up in victory. You had to fight for victory. For 10 days, you had to fight for victory over the enemy. And you must understand tonight what the number 10 means. When you get to the number 10, I found that so interesting. Now, people will read that Bible and think it's talking about 10 literal days. So foolish. So carnal. When you understand what this 10 days is, it gives you the secret to the dethroning of Satan in your life. The problem in the Christian church, they bring you to the resurrection. And they call you saved. You come up out of the water. You see light shining and birds humming and fluttering. And you think you're now walking in a victorious life. No, Satan's still on the throne. Satan still tells you what to do and you do it. He tells you to smoke this, you smoke it. He tells you to cheat on this, you cheat on it. Because he's still your master even after your resurrection. After the feast of shouting, he's still your master. Oh no, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, but now what about master? See, you've got to remove the other master to replace him with this master. So very soon, when the seventh day comes, we're going to remove Satan from the earth. Oh, absolutely. And we're going to replace him with Yeshua. But I heard in the word, we had to do that first in the church before it happens in the world. When you get to the number 10, you've run out of numbers. There's only 9 numbers in the whole world. 0 is not a number. 0 is nothing. 1 through, that's it. That's all the numbers there are in the world. And yet, Yahshua said these words, I love it, in verse number 10, you shall have tribulation. But I want you to hear what he says right now. But guess what? Oh, you're going to have them because it's going to take those tribulations for you to dethrone Satan out of your life. But I want to tell you something. You hear me, he said. Satan doesn't do the counting. I say how long your tribulations will last. I I say I won't put any more on you than you can bear. Because while Satan may be doing the tribulation, I'm doing the counting. I say, when it stops, I declare when you've had enough. I determine when you've passed the test. You shall have tribulation, but it's not without an end. You shall be tempted, but it's going to end the moment you overcome it. I say, there you go. That's enough. 10 days, it's over. In the 10 days of awe, it's the end of all the numbers. It's the ultimate completion. It is the time of the end of your trials in a certain area of your life. It is the symbol of the end of that battle. And I've come to teach you a lesson tonight. I've come to teach you right when you're about to reach the end of your road. There's a counter in heaven. And it's not Satan that does the counting. Oh no, it's not Satan that determines how much he can hit you. It's not Satan that determines how hard he's going to fight you. It is your Father in heaven that sets the allotted time. 10 days, you'll have tribulation. What is he saying? While you're going through that tribulation, ain't no need of praying for the tribulation to go away. You just know that the minute you surrender, I'll say 10. You didn't hear me. That would have been a chance. The minute you overcome, I shout 10. You shall have tribulation, but only 10 days. Notice when these 10 days happen, right before the overthrow. The overthrow is next Thursday night. But there's 10 days. Because you're going to be the bride. On Thursday night. The only way you become the bride, he's got to count to 10 in your life. You got to overcome all the way to 10. Brother Vaughn, I don't know quite what you're saying. Well, I'm just going to make it real plain for you. I'm going to show you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You shall have tribulation until you've got them commandments written in your heart, living by them. Then you shall be the bride. There's your 10 days. Brother Vaughn, how do I know? It's real simple. Watch this. You shall have no other gods before me. All right. So when I come up from my resurrection and I want to do Christmas because that's my God. I love my tree, Pastor. I know you do, darling. I love my silver bells. I know. 10 days. 10 days. And one day, you know what's going to happen. You're going to say, you know what? I give up. Bring out the shofar. Bring out the menorah. Grab me a tallit. I give up. I've overcome 10 days. 1 of 10. I've got it. Satan is dethroned out of that commandment. It ain't easy. Loved ones that we love. The world that thinks we're a bunch of fools. But do you know what the Bible says about those 144,000? These are they that followed the word wherever it took them. I can't help. Yes, it's going to be tribulation. Yes, it's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to be trials. Yes, it's going to be turmoil. But your tribulation will end. Brother Vaughn, I'm struggling with pagan holidays. We take pity on you. We've all been there. But I want to tell you, when you overcome, the moment you take that God off the throne and you just give it up, just like your weed and your needles and your pain pills, you don't never get victory till you just, I'm done. I'm done. I surrender. I'm done. The only path to victory is 10 days. And then you get to that next one. You shall not make unto thee any graven images. Well, we just talked about the trees and everything else. And you don't make anything that takes my place. Nothing. If you want to go from the resurrection to the throne, it's going to take 10 days. You shall not take the name of thy God in vain. Here's the thing about it, children. You didn't even know the name of thy God until he gave it to you. And it is not easy. Listen to me. You think it's easy on Facebook for me to say Yahweh? You think that's easy? It's a struggle. I'm going against everybody, everything, because I refuse to know his name and take that knowledge in vain. You want to go from the resurrection to the throne? Overcome your ashamedness of the name of God. Well, I would go to that church, but they talking about Yahoo and everybody and Yah and you and Yah. It's embarrassing to the flesh. Until the day comes when you're like, that's your name? No problem. I got it. I surrender. 10 days, one at a time. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. One day at a time. One commandment at a time. 10 days, you shall start the process of dethroning Satan out of your life. And then remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not easy. I'll tell anybody. It's not easy. It's not easy to go to church on Saturday. When you're in town and everybody's like, well, let's go have lunch after church Sunday. And you're like, well, I would, but I don't go to church on Sunday. Yeah. Oh, what then? What religion are you? I don't know. Or Saturday's your best-selling day. Yes, right? Yeah, tell the police, I just left church on a Friday night. He says, okay. He said, yeah, you driving a little drunk. Yes, it's that new wine. Sabbath day is hard. I'll tell everybody, it's hard at first to break that spirit off of your life that rebels against Shabbat. Because then you'll go to church next week and you'll hear some preacher say, God don't care what day you do it on. Show me that in the Bible. He said, love him every day. This ain't about love. I love my wife every day, but we go on a date once a week. When somebody says, just love the Lord all the time, say, I'll tell you what, let me try that with my wife. Come our anniversary, I'm going to tell her, well, baby, you know I love you all the time. Ain't no need in no anniversary date. I'll be sleeping outside in my recliner. But once a year, we stop time. Once a week, our date night is every Saturday night, and nothing gets in the way of that. Don't ask us to come out with you. Don't ask. Saturday night is our night. Nothing gets in the way of that. You know why? Because we are learning, because during the week we snapping and we're dealing with problems and we're dealing with trials and we're dealing with this. And, you know, you go through problems and you sometimes you wake up and you just, my God. But you know date night's coming, so you know you better start straightening up. If you're planning on getting, having a good night, you better start straightening up. Amen. You better start acting right. You better quit all that being like you, your own man. Look, almost a Saturday, I'll be walking around the house like I'm the head of the house. But Saturday night's coming. So around Saturday morning, good morning, baby. How you doing? Right? I'm learning the value of sacred time. If you want to overcome Satan in your life, you better learn one commandment at a time. There's 10 of them for 10 days. This is what it symbolizes. And as you can go through all of them, as you overcome them, there's the biggest one of all. Thou shalt not murder. Until you can overcome your tongue, you Satan's still on your throne, see? Every time you talk about somebody, you're murdering them over and over and over again. Every time you remind somebody of their past, you might as well just shoot them. I come to tell you tonight, these 10 days of awe is a time for you to be in awe that someone like you could become someone like you're becoming. How awesome is that? The 10 days of awe that I'm being changed from what I was to what I'm becoming. I'm in awe. I'm overcoming these things one at a time for 10 days. I'm overcoming them. I'm in awe that I used to have other gods before me, but I can honestly say I'm laying them down. I'm in awe of that. I'm in awe that at one time, thou shalt not steal, that applied to me, and I broke that. And I'm in awe today that that's not me anymore. I'm in awe of what God can do in a man's life if he'll just go through those 10 days, day by day, tribulation. I'm in awe that I don't covet. I'm pleased and happy with my portion that Yahweh's given me. That used to not be me, Sister Courtney. I coveted. I wanted more. I wanted what others had. So now when I find myself happy with my portion, I say, wait a minute. I've conquered that number 9, that number 8. I'm going from the resurrection to the revolution. Because what is a revolution? An overthrow. It's when you throw a government overboard. We're going from the resurrection to the revolution. You will not do it the first time you speak in tongues. You won't do it the first good prayer meeting you go to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You won't do it, Sister Bacon. You won't do it the first prayer meeting you go to. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! The problem is, you think that one laying on of the hands going to do it. One falling out in the spirit's going to do it. No, 10 days you'll have tribulation. But the problem is, we don't know what the word tribulation means. We talk about the great tribulation like it's something evil. Don't you know who's going to send the great tribulation? It's not the Antichrist. It's not Satan. It is Yahweh. He's the God of tribulation. He created tribulation for a purpose. He said, you shall have tribulation, but there will be an end when you surrender. It's like a boxing match. On your back, laying down. You've surrendered, and they start counting 1, 2, 3. Whenever you surrender, Yahweh starts counting 7, 8, 9, 10. You've overcome it. Now stand in awe. Know that he's transforming you from the whore to the bride. The prostitute cares nothing about a man's name. A prostitute doesn't care what your mama's name is, what your name is. As a matter of fact, they don't even ask you your name. That's why the church don't want to know his name. They're prostitutes. It just came from up yonder. They come in here to lay down and get their touch. They don't want to know. The prostitute don't want to know what kind of food you like. She don't want to know how you like your clothes ironed. She don't want to know anything about you. She just wants what you got. That's the modern Christian church. She just wants a blessing. She just wants a healing. She just wants a prophecy. She just wants a miracle. But she don't want to know about him. No relationship. Just come in. Lay down, son. Get your blessing. That's all she wants to do. Lay down like a whore. That's it. That's all she wants to do. The minute you start talking about his name, well, that's not that important. Of course it's not, you whore. Of course it's not, you lady of the night. But to the bride, we want to know everything. What day do you like? What's your name? When are you coming? What's your favorite day, sir? Oh, you like the seventh day? Well, then I like the seventh day. Yeah. How do you want me to worship you? Oh, you like dancing? I'll dance. The whore says, that's not how I do it. I know you, whore. That's not my style. Who said it's about you? I didn't read that in the Word nowhere. I didn't read anywhere in the Word this is about you.
That's right. It's all about him.
Say it again.
It's all about him.
It's all about him. Well, the only way, if y'all see me dancing, it's God, not me. I'll do it until I feel God. I'll do it because he said to do it. I'll do it because his word said to do it. I want to go from my resurrection to the revolution. I want to overcome these 10 days. We've got to learn the purpose of the days of awe. The days of awe is to put you in awe. It should be, Jamie Peachy, that as you, when after you were baptized every day, you should be in awe of, and I believe you've already, you and your wife has already gone through this, in awe of how you could survive things that normally you could not have survived, how you could go through trials that you should not have been able to go through. I'm in awe! I'm in awe! I'm in awe of you! I stand in awe of you! It's about that time of year where I just thought I'd test the water today, and I put a little Halloween graphic on Facebook. Y'all should see the responses. You know, there was a time every church preached against Halloween. They may not have preached against all the other stuff, but they preached against Halloween. You would have thought that I preached against LGBTQXYZ. You ain't never seen such hate that I got on Facebook for preaching against Halloween. And you know what they say on there? Well, that's not what it means to me. And that's when I want to say, I know, whore. Because you don't care what it means to God as long as it's what it don't mean to you. You haven't even conquered the first commandment of no other gods because you are your God. It's what matters to you that matters. Oh, absolutely. Hallelujah. Notice what it says about this tribulation. It doesn't say it's going to be long or short. It just says 10 days. I want to tell you something about it. That indicates a certain definite period that is allotted to the devil to test and try the chosen people of God. That tribulation that's coming up on the world, Sister Hope, has already come upon you. The same Yahweh that's sending it to the world sent it to you already. People say, are you worried about great tribulation? I'm like, darling, I live in it. I live in it every day when I'm hated for his name's sake. When my own family don't know how to act around me. You want to talk about great tribulation? God is the creator of great tribulation. This period is not determined by the devil. Because the devil possesses no power to determine how long it's going to last. He don't have that power, Sister Brown. He is just the minister of Yahweh. If you've not read my book, The Ministry of Satan, did you know that Satan is God's greatest minister, his most trustworthy minister? He reports to the Father. Satan, where have you been, son? I was doing what you told me to do. Seeking whom I can devour. Because if they're truly yours, I won't be able to devour them. The reason he's seeking who he can devour, because he can't devour everybody. If you can be devoured, you were never chosen. You were never in the elect. The elect cannot be deceived. We cannot be devoured. Why? We're built on something beside emotion. We're built on the seals and the trumpets. We're built on the end time revelation of who Yahshua is. You're not in a position to know how long your trials are going to last. But I can assure you, they can only last 10 days. When you feel like you're going down, just know this. Somebody's counting. And it's not Satan. It is your Father in heaven. It is your Father in heaven that is counting down the days. If the very hairs of your head are numbered, and every sparrow that falls to the ground, you can rest assured that the minutest detail of your trials and testings are being carefully weighed in the omnipotent hands of a loving Father. And even if the length of your tribulation and your trials were to cover the whole of your lifetime, that would be 10 days. You hear me? If he could write the Ten Commandments with his finger, he can write your 10 days with his finger. He controls it all. He is omnipotent. You serve a wonderful God. You serve a mighty Yahweh. He's a loving Father. He cares about you. Satan, I want to ask you a question. Have you just considered my servant Job? Oh yeah, I've considered him. But you hadn't started counting to 10 yet. I can't touch him. You've put a hedge around him. He said, I tell you what I'll do then. I'll start counting to 10. I want you to go now and destroy everything in his life. And I want you to take everything you want to take from him. But the number 10 is you can't take his life. Because I'm doing the counting. You're doing the work. I'm doing the counting. God's counting your trial. God's counting your tribulation. If you felt like giving up, get up. He's counting. You've got what it takes. You've got the strength. You've got the power. Get up until you hear 10. As I close, I heard a story that I want to share with you. When I was young, my grandmother, Sister Gatlin, used to get, people didn't know this, I knew it because I lived with her, but most of her sermons came out of the Reader's Digest. She always had a story from that Reader's Digest every time she preached. Yeah. My grandmother was the kind of preacher that she could bring tears to a wooden eye. And she was just, God love her, she's reaching the end of her days now. But I read a story in the Reader's Digest, and I just wanted to share it with you, and just in memory of my grandmother, I suppose. It's a story of a king, and he was very insecure. And so this king thought that everybody was out to get him, and that he was about to lose everything. So what did he do? He went and got a big mountain and he built his castle on the top of that mountain. On an island, the island was a mountain and it was out in the middle of the water. And then he built a moat on the island from his enemies, and then he filled that moat with crocodiles. He thought he was safe, but he didn't know if he could trust his own soldiers. So he decided to hire, he was going to find the most loyal man he could find. And so he made a proclamation. He said, "Tomorrow morning, I want all you young men to come down to the moat where the alligators are. And I want you to meet on the edge of the moat and swim across the moat through the crocodiles. And the young man that wins and crosses it first will be offered a chief position, a purse filled with golden coins, and the hand of the king's most beautiful daughter." So that day arrived, and here they all came. All these young boys wanted to marry that girl. She was so beautiful. So they all came to the edge of the moat, waiting for the bugle to sound to announce it's time to swim. Hardly had the bugle call sounded when one young man plunged into the water ahead of everybody else. He managed to escape the crocodiles miraculously and reach the other side in record time. The king said, "My lord, son." He said, "That was wonderful." He said, "Do you have anything that you want to say to the people?" He said, "Yes, I do. Who pushed me?" But because somebody pushed him, he won everything. I want you to hear me tonight. There will come a time in your life when God will push you. With the crocodiles, with the moat, with the snakes, with the enemy, he will push you because he knows what's in you, what you can become, what you can receive. I believe the testings of God's sons are just like that. I believe every one of you that's in this church tonight, God pushed you. Pushed you away from your grandchildren that you love. Lord, that look at the crocodiles, push. But Lord, I don't know anybody down there, push. Driving from Pennsylvania, push. Why? Because you ain't gonna do it on your own. I have to push you so that I can position you into the throne that I've prepared for you. It takes guts to leave the lowlands of your carnal nature, to scale the heights of the spirit. I want to say that again. It takes guts to be willing to leave your addictions under your feet and scale to the heights of the spirit. And sometimes when God knows who you are, he pushes you. When the baby eagles are born, they love the nest. And Mama Eagle will try, but she'll take out the covering from the thorny nest. Hopefully they'll fly, but they won't go nowhere. They become so comfortable in their world. So eventually the mama, she'll take them and put them on her wings. And she'll take off across the valley. And all of a sudden she'll drop those wings. And let them babies, she'll push them. And they start tumbling like some of you do when you get here after you move here. Tumbling. Oh God, what did I do? What am I doing? And that eagle just watches them while they're screaming and hollering and just laughs. And as they keep falling and they come that close to hitting the ground, them wings swoop right under them, pick them right back up. If you'll let God push you, he'll save you. If you'll let God push you, he'll empower you. If you'll let God push you, he'll position you. If you'll let God push you, he will prepare you for what he wants to do in your life. He's pushing you tonight. His brother comes and Sister Vaughn comes. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or testing. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. David said in Psalms 119 and 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why did he say that? He said, it is good, God, that you pushed me so that I might learn your law. You may wonder, what kind of theology is Brother Vaughn preaching? How could my problems work in me the qualifications necessary to be a king and a priest? Because the Hebrew word for affliction, are you ready? He said, blessed is the man that endures affliction. David said, it's good that I was afflicted. The word afflicted means browbeaten, troubled, humbled, chastised, defiled, hurt, weakened, depressed, discouraged. And so whenever you read that scripture again that says it was good for me to be afflicted, here's what it said. It was good for me to be browbeaten, to be troubled, to be abused, to be chastised, to be defiled, to be hurt, to be humbled, to be weakened, to be depressed, to be discouraged, because I hear the number 10 in the distance. I hear 10. What God started in you, he'll finish all the way to 10 if you'll quit running. Those of you that's come here for this ministry, you're running now to everything else but the ministry. You're never going to make it if you don't go to 10. I'll have no other gods before you. That includes your husband, your wife, your children, your family. No other gods. If you came here for Yahweh and you're not chasing him anymore, you haven't even conquered number one. You put him first in all things. In all things. Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than him. Consider the sparrow, they don't plant or so, but they have a father that watches them grow. We have a heavenly father above with us for mercy and a heart full of love. And he really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. Bye.
and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will
friend of mine. He loves you tonight. He loves you, children. He's counting your troubles.
Turns out the stars and tells the sun when to shine.
Talk to him tonight. Tell him to count.
He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider
and a heart full of love. And he really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider